At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Hi, it's Annie here. Just before today's podcast, let me tell you about the Her Spirit community. The Her Spirit community provides a fun, safe and supportive space for every woman to get fitter, stronger and healthier. So download the app today, which is free until the end of June.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Her Spirit podcast with me, Louise Minchin, and my lovely friend, Annie Emerson, who has joined the big 5-0 gang. Happy birthday, Annie. How is it?
It was brilliant. And you know what, Lou? I knew you weren't going to, you know, ignore that one. It was always going to come into this conversation, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Oh my goodness. It's like, I feel like, you know, I have to be a grown up, and I definitely haven't been a grown up in the first 50 years of my life. So perhaps I'll just kind of pass on that one. I did have a bit of a moment on Sunday where I went, 50. Whoa, that's a big number. But anyway, feel great. Had a lovely weekend, and my family were just gorgeous, and I had lots of treats and lovely things, and probably sort of feeling a little bit fuzzy today because probably a little bit more champagne, too much champagne went down, but it was a good fun weekend. And, you know, I didn't actually really even consider lockdown because I'm not really a big party girl. I like small groups of friends. And so I'm quite happy that I didn't have to throw a big party.
But you do what I did, which was have the party. I always have my big birthday parties quite a lot later because what I do is like get over being the new age. So when I was, I had my 50th birthday when I was nearly 51, as you know, because you came to the party.
I think that's a good idea. And I have, I have a twin sister, Charlotte, for many years, just decided to knock off a year of her age. So she was sort of 48 and I was 49. So apparently I'm 50 and she's 49 now.
Though you're twins, I love
this. And so we'll have to have that big proper celebration when she actually officially turns 50 next year. Yeah.
I've been doing loads of exercise this week as well. What have you been up to?
Not enough, actually. I guess just with general...
This is an excuse. It's okay.
Yeah.
Being 50 is okay.
I do feel a big need to go out and have a big run, which I'm going to do later on today, actually. I need to get back
on
track.
And the thing is, from tomorrow, Wednesday, and we'll give everybody a sort of sense of where we are, the new lockdown rules come into play. So you can go out for as long as you like, which is actually quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, we're really lucky here. We live in the countryside, but I think that's, you know, particularly good news for people kind of living in places where they don't have gardens and stuff, and to be able to relax about the fact that they can go outside and not feel like they're kind of doing anything wrong. It is a really good thing. So for me, I'm really happy for the people that don't have the space that we're lucky enough to have here.
And we're still pushing on Her Spirit for every minute counts. Have you been adding your minutes? I did 10 hours last week.
I really need to go and sort out my Training Peaks and download all my stuff. I really do, because there'll be a good few hundred minutes there. So I will get that done as well. I think we also need to have a big shout out to Medichex and Sport England, who have been really amazing in supporting this podcast. So without them... we might not be here. So big thanks to Medichex and Sport England.
We have at the moment apparently 103,000 minutes added. So that's absolutely fantastic. Annie, so my next guest, our next guest, sits on the same sofa as me. I don't think you've met her, have you?
I haven't, but I know lots about her. So I'm incredibly excited to chat to her.
Let me introduce you to my BBC Breakfast co-presenter. We don't actually present together very often, but we love it when we do. It is the wonderful Naga Manchetti.
Whoa, hello. Delighted to be with you. This is very weird, Louise, being interviewed by you.
Oh, I'm really excited about it. So Annie's with me as well, who we used to work on triathlon, but there is no triathlon anymore. So we're
Oh my gosh, don't say used to. It sounds like it's never going to happen again.
It's not happening this year, is it, Annie? Let's face it.
Well, no, we're safe to say there's not a lot of triathlon happening this year, unfortunately.
Anyway, Naga, so my goodness me, we can talk about sport. And what I've loved about you over the last couple of years is watching how kind of adventurous you are in sport and the things that you've learned. Should we start with swimming? Because just take us back a little bit. You've been learning to swim, haven't you?
Yeah, so I was a rubbish swimmer at school. I hated it. For so many reasons, I hated swimming. I hate the cold. So I hate getting into a cold bath, basically. Why would you do that? It's dirty in my head. Skin flakes, people who pee in pools. Why do I want to get into a pool?
Everybody listening is going to think, yeah, she's got some very good points there.
No, seriously, come on. It's a good point. And I just hate it. And also there was that thing, wasn't there, when you're a kid and, you know, you're prepubescent or you're going through puberty and you're exposed in like a little swimming costume and you're really conscious. And I just hated everything about it. And, you know, those days when you were learning to swim, it was you were thrown in and there were always the kids that had been taken swimming by their parents. And I never had been. And my parents don't swim very well. I mean, it's like my mum learned to swim when she was an adult. I hated every minute of it. I remember I got my 50 meters and I did it all on my back. I could only swim on my back. And I remember I cheated. I did actually touch the side. I kept right next to the side all along. And I'm really good at sculling. And so I think I probably sculled most of it because every time I flung my arms back, I either hit myself in the head or like had a mouthful of water and I hated it. So a few years ago, my husband and I, James and I, went to St. Lucia on holiday. And I windsurf. So went out windsurfing. It's really windy in St. Lucia. And went out windsurfing and got out and I couldn't get back in. I wasn't strong enough to swim back in. So the guys who were with us, who were not teaching us, but kind of holding the boards while we were jumping up, had to swim me back in. I just wasn't strong enough. And James found the same thing. And then funnily enough, I was on breakfast. I was presenting with Roger and we were talking about John Legend, you know, the singer. And he'd taken swimming lessons at the age of 40. And we both sat there and live on air just said, you know, I'm not very good at swimming. Can't really swim very well. I can't swim. I couldn't swim on my front. Breaststroke. I would literally do one breaststroke and I would sink like a stone. I mean, it would just be comedic. So Swim England got in touch and said, we'll work with you if you want to do some swimming. So I thought, okay. And so James and I did it together because he's all muscle and just kind of powers himself through the water. There's absolutely no sophistication to his stroke. Well, there wasn't. It's better now. And I was just a flailing, I don't know, flailing thing.
I think like elegant flailing.
Well, no, not at that time. It's much more elegant now. And then we had lessons together. And we had a brilliant teacher, Holly, who, I mean, obviously haven't been swimming for months now. I haven't been swimming since January. And she tapped into our competitiveness.
Did she?
Mega competitive. So yeah, so that's how she got us going. So now I can do front crawl and I'm quite elegant. Biggest compliment I got was from one of the teachers who was teaching James while Holly was teaching me, who said that if I was younger, she'd got me into synchronized swimming because I'm a pretty swimmer. I'm a pretty swimmer.
And so that's in the pool, Nega. What about open water swimming? Have you ventured into any open
silly,
water?
Don't be silly. Annie.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, a few years ago, you probably would have said, I'll never be a swimmer. Now you've conquered that. So the next step, honestly, I challenge you because I've never liked open water swimming, which is slightly bizarre because I was a triathlete for 15 years, but I've just started to embrace it. And there's something really, I don't know, I think it's all the podcasts we've done and the amazing women that you've spoken to and their stories about open water swimming. So you just got to give it a little go.
Do you know what, Annie? I was at Christmas Drinks not so long ago and someone had exactly the same argument as you've just made, right? Laid it all out. What comes to my mind? What lies beneath, okay? What is in that filthy water, in the open water? Okay, so because I am a clean freak. Well, I'm not a clean freak. I'm just clean, okay? So I don't want to embrace weird things, junk, people have thrown in whatever bit of open water, dirty, out of my depth. And you say I've conquered swimming. I haven't. I can just swim. I'm not a strong swimmer like you and Louise at all.
But I mean, what I'm so impressed by, Naga, because, you know, I mean, I'm sure I talked to you this probably about this years ago. People go, oh, I can't swim, therefore I don't swim. And what you've done, I think, is really admirable, is go, well, actually, let's try and learn something, you know, and you're much younger than me, but, you know, let's try and learn something when I'm not a kid anymore. And it's brave. It's inspiring. It's lovely. Honestly, I've loved watching all your swim videos.
Oh, that's so kind. It's hard.
Yeah.
As well, it's hard to learn when you're older and it's it's harder to be almost brave when you're older because you have so much knowledge, don't you? We have life experience when we get older, obviously. And so you're more conscious and you're more, you can be more scared. And Annie, in response to your question, I don't ever, you know, I was at these Christmas drinks and I'd had a few and I said, oh yeah, I'll give it a go. And I soon decided not to.
But what I've got to tell you are there are places to swim open water and there are places and not to swim in open water. And if you, lakes can be incredibly clean. I kind of understand that, you know, I mean, Lou and I have both swam, I don't know about you, Lou, but I'm speaking for you, both swam in probably some pretty dodgy places as well as lovely places. But the local lake down the road from me, it's clear as anything. There might be a few fish down there, but you just don't think about it.
Fish, I don't mind.
Okay, you'll be fine then. You'll be fine.
How do you cope as well? Because the other thing that is puts people off, and it even puts me off, and we've talked about this before, is that whole thing about, you know, I don't know, like the changing rooms. I get in this pool and I've got to worry about my hair. And, you know, I love swimming. I love the thought of it, but the whole thought of sort of getting there and all the faff around. So how do you deal with that, Naga? Is that okay? Is that okay for you?
So I'm really lucky when I've been going for my swimming lessons, I go wearing my swimming costume and just put some tracky bottoms and a hoodie on top. And I don't shower. I would never shower at swimming pools. I literally go back, take my costume off, dry off, put my tracky bottom, literally just tracky bottoms and tracky top, and then drive home and shower at home.
And let's be honest, like the hair problem for Naga is not such a big problem,
good hair.
Is it?
It's not
I
a
mean,
problem.
When you've got this, or like Lulu, your hair,
we have
you come out probably.
Your hair looks like, Annie, when it's right down past your shoulders, isn't it?
It's so long. It's an admirable mane, Annie.
God, it looks like a right old scruffy mane at the moment, but that's lockdown for you.
So to people who are listening, Naga, and think, oh, I just can't do it, what would you say to them, that, you know, the journey that you've been on over the last kind of year or so, what would you say?
At Her Spirit, we know how powerful women can be. We love your strength, your determination, your compassion. We love the energy that sparks when we connect and spur each other on. Her Spirit was created to ignite that flame of determination, to unleash your energy, to build your self-belief, and to help every woman find a way to your healthiest mind, body, and soul yet. We want to inspire 1 million women just like you to be active, healthy and happy because you deserve it. Head to herspirit.co.uk, join our core membership and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. Join our monthly challenges, get access to the Her Spirit Health Hub and track your activity levels, mood, food, sleep and stress every single week with your own personalised dashboard. Get expert advice and join daily live classes that can be played back at any time. Plus, find the support that you need to get started and stay motivated. Just sign up at herspirit.co.uk and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Well, I think there's very little that we can't do. I think, you know, get a teacher. There's nothing worse. I mean, and we'll talk about golf soon, but there's nothing worse than
Don't worry, we will.
There's nothing worse than trying something which is hard and not getting it and not getting advice. And there are so many teachers out there, and there will be when we're allowed to swim again, you know, who are just so happy. You know what it's like when you show someone something that they don't know and the joy of when they get it, be it maths, be it, I don't know, how to write a headline or, you know, how to hit a golf ball. They really want to. In fact, my teacher, her mum was so inspired by the videos I was posting online that she had a lesson with her daughter and she'd refused to do that the whole time her daughter had taught.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. So that, for me, that's one of the best things I got out of swimming.
And so, and Naga, when you were growing up, what was your relationship like with sport? Did you do a lot of sport as a kid? Or other sports, obviously, other than swimming?
My relationship with sport was pretty bad, if I'm being honest. So I love team sports. I was always good at basketball because I was fast. And I always loved squash because I was fast and I'd always knock myself out. I still do. I have numerous cuts and I have a very bad scar here from where my husband slammed. I did shout obstruction, but he slammed the squash racket into my face and we ended up in A&E, but that's another story.
No, tell us the story. My goodness. So you're playing a competitive game. You've already said you're competitive together.
It's with James and I. It's always competitive. And I shout, and I'm one of those annoying players. I end up with the ball marks on your back because, you know, if you get hit by the ball, you lose the point. But I'm always in the way. So my strengths of playing squash is I'm really fast. Like, I'll get to the ball when you'll think I'll never get there.
Yeah.
And have a really strong backhand. And so I can drive it, and a good serve. So I can drive it along the wall, and I can serve back into the back corners. So those are the only strengths I've got. And I run really fast, but I do get in the way. Anyway, so I was in the way and I shouted obstruction because I see, like, you know, he's a strong man. And I'm not going to take all the blame for this. I'm just not going to take all
well,
the blame.
He
for
did hit you. Years,
he hit me. And with the forehand, and, you know, that's his strong. And it went smash straight here. So I've got the scar here. And it's been glued. I thought he'd broken my jaw. So we stood, we lived in Blackheath at the time. So we were in Southeast London and in Lewisham, and there's blood everywhere. Thought he'd broken my jaw. We stood there. He ran off to get like some tissues or whatever. They were all useless. And so we drove to hospital. Now, thank goodness, when I play sport and when James plays sport, we sweat a lot. Which is a great feeling, you know, that feeling when you've really sweated, you feel like you've done something brilliant with your body. And we got there, so I had the, you know, pool of sweat around my chest and we were in shorts and everything. And we got to the hospital, got separated and asked about domestic violence, which is right.
Oh my God, I'm not laughing. That's not funny.
I know. So James, I mean, was mortified. Absolutely mortified. And I worked at Channel 4 News at the time as a producer stroke reporter. And I went in and the whole side of my face was black and I had a black eye. And I think I can't remember if we were engaged or not at the time. Probably were. And everyone, I mean, I said it's a squash injury and you can see everyone's concerned. We all would be, wouldn't we?
Go, yes, James, right. That looks like something completely different.
Yeah. James refused to play squash with me for 3 years.
I love the way that this is obviously some time ago and you're actually whispering about it.
Well, he's there and he knows I tell the story, but I just felt so bad for him.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
You know, and obviously, you know, gosh, you know, and rightly so to be questioned about domestic violence, he was mortified. You know, This is a man who would never raise his hand to anyone, let alone his wife or girlfriend at the time. So, yeah. So my relationship with sport, Annie, actually, it's mixed if we say that. But at school, I was really academic and really musical. So, and my parents, Asian parents, they were typical Asian parents. They wanted me to, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer. So I was never going to follow music. I was a grade 8 musician with the trumpet and piano. Used to go to a Saturday music school, la, la, la. So, and in the holidays playing an orchestra and la, la, la. So loved all of that. Really academic, one of those annoying academic kids. So when cross country came up, you know, every term you have like a couple of PE lessons and they switch, cross country would come up. And you two will be appalled by this because you're pure of body and mind and spirit and all of that.
Oh my God, so not
true.
I would do the cross country run, but I would be one of those kids that did the shortcut, had a fag and then ran in. That you could, me.
Yeah, right? I didn't do that. You didn't do that, Annie, did you?
I know.
I didn't do that.
So that would be me when I was a kid. And then basketball I loved because it was a team sport and I love team sports. Absolutely love them. And then squash, when we got to play squash, that was the thing that I really loved as well.
But you since your cross country days and the secret fag halfway through cutting the course, you do enjoy running now because it's something you do on a regular basis, isn't it?
Yeah, I run about 3 or 4 times a week now. And I ran because before my 40th, I'm 45 now, and I think I was 38 and I thought I want to see if I can run a marathon. And it was just one of those whims. I'm one of these people that do things on it. I spout nonsense out loud, usually after having a glass of wine. And then I'm like, no, I'll do it. That's fine. It's in my head now and I'll do it. So I said, I want to run a marathon. So I thought if I'm 38, I wanted to do it before I was 40. Not that I really care about age, but obviously it is a bit of a landmark, isn't it, for some people. And I suppose for me at that time, I thought it would be. So I thought I'd give myself 2 years. If I couldn't do it the first year, I'll do it the second. So I started training for a marathon. I roped my husband, and I wasn't a runner before then. I really wasn't. I didn't have a personal trainer. I'd done boxer size. That was the other thing I used to love doing, boxing, when I was much, much younger, because I think I just like to sweat. And running, I think, demands a certain kind of discipline and patience, which isn't my forte. I think, Louise, you're well aware of that, that discipline isn't my forte, or being disciplined.
I'm saying nothing, Naga.
Exactly. You know what? Silence speaks so much, doesn't it? So I trained for this marathon. Now, I'm giving you a really bad impression of my marriage
husband. I'm loving this.
But I will tell you this. So James and I both had horrendous tempers. And Lou will know this. Lou has obviously heard if I've lost my temper or whatever. And I don't lose it very often, but
I've never seen you lose a temper. But anyway, no, carry on.
I don't do it. I don't do it very often, honestly. And James and I, because we have horrendous tempers, we don't row, but we are brutal when it comes to, if you've annoyed me or if I've annoyed him, it's out there, it's said, job done. Right. So that is the way I think we operate in the newsroom, Lou, don't we? Because you haven't got time to fanny about. You just say, I don't like the way this is done. This was wrong. Don't do it again. Move on. Yeah. Don't hold grudges. So James and I don't row. And he's a lovely, lovely man. He's definitely the better half. So I roped him into training for the marathon, and it was horrible. The weather was horrible. It had snowed.
London? Did you do London?
Yeah, London 2013. Yeah. Right. It was miserable. And we started training in October. And then the gadgets weren't brilliant. So I think I had a phone and I had like an app, and the phone signal kept dropping out. Anyway, we're going out and doing this 12-miler or 13-miler. It was like November. You know, you have to build up to 20, don't you, before Christmas or something, or 13 and then 20 at another point. And we were running and he hated it. He didn't want to do it. He got roped into it. He moaned all the time. Every time I said, let's go for a run, he would moan. And he would be moaning the whole time, like miserable, right? Fine. So we just did it. So, you know, it was literally a case of me dragging him along. Fine. I dragged him in. I could do that. Anyway, we were running and we got back a part way. And we probably had 2 miles to go home up a hill. And he said, how long does it say? And I said, oh, it's saying eight. Well, I won't tell you what he said, but he actually had a meltdown in the road. You're lying to me. I'm sick of you lying about how far we're going to go, lying about this. You're just dragging me into, I don't want to do this. You may be standing in the street in the freezing cold, screaming, right? And I stood there and I just went, thing is, James, we're still going to have to run up that hill. Either way, we have to get home. So you can scream and shout. The thing is dropping out. Can't do anything. Oh my, I mean, he was raging. That was the last run you ever did.
Did you ever did you come running after the marathon?
We had to carry on. So we had to do the marathon. So we did the marathon. You know what it's like. You get put in separate pens, don't you? So all I wanted to do, and we even took running lessons because James was having problems with his calf. So we learned to run like shorter cadences, you know, higher cadence, shorter steps and all that, because he was doing that whole big leaping thing and damaging himself. So we learned to run, you know, little steps. Brilliant running teacher. Because I think if you're going to do it, like I said earlier, get some lessons, you know, be taught how to do it. Am I talking too much?
No, I'm loving it. We love it. Carry on.
So we'd even had running lessons. So my aim was I wanted to do it in 4 hours, 10 minutes. Which is okay. And it was my first marathon. So, you know, I thought if I can do it in that, then I'm done. I'm never going to do it again, ever. Anyway, and James had suffered with the injury, but he was fine. He was in a different pen.
Were you going for different times then?
Well, no, because I was quite lucky. I got it put in that celeb pen, you know. So you get forward and you lose the crowd. You don't get the crowd so much, which is, you know, a lovely position to be in. So I went off, all fine, and then at 14 miles, I had a tweak in my thigh, in one of my hamstrings. And we'd been taught wherever the tweak is, it's not necessarily where the problem is.
It might be your foot or something. Exactly. Annie would know better.
So just, you know, readjust your gait and, you know, so I was fine. 17, it buckled. My leg buckled. And bear in mind, I'd had no injuries in the whole of the training. By the time it got to 21, I was limping and I was begging them, can you strap me up? Can you get me some paracetamol? And I had nothing on me. And they can't do anything. They can't do anything. So by the time I got over, so I did it in 4 hours... 42, I think.
No, that's a respectable time. I mean, I know it's not any time, is it? But
no, it's not either of your times. But for me, I was, and so I limped over. Literally limped over that. And my friend, we had some friends met, and apparently I was grey because I was in so much pain and I couldn't walk for 2 weeks properly. I was walking around with a stick, couldn't play golf. I was furious. And then I was angry for months. And I still am a little bit angry about it.
Oh, why are you angry? Oh,
because my body let me down. And there was no need for it to let me down. It was ridiculous.
Annie, what would you say about that? You can't blame me.
It's quite sort of deep. I think we have to sort of respect our bodies. And quite often, you know, they don't sort of tell us in time that there is something wrong. You probably had a trapped nerve or something, I'd imagine. I don't know. But seeing as it was like so painful, I had a similar injury and limped for 5 weeks. I just think you can't beat yourself up. I mean, you've got to cross the line. You know, a lot of people would give in. I'm not saying, you know, humans are weak, but the normal person, the brain is saying, stop, this hurts. And if you can override that, I think that shows an incredible ability to sort of, you know, overcome adversity and the stuff that our body throws at us. So I think you did a great job, and I wouldn't beat yourself up. I mean, at the end of the day, you go 4 hours 10, 4 hours 42, you know, what the hell, you did it. You know, it's a lot more than a lot of people do. So yeah, you've got to get over that one, Nagger. It's too long ago, love.
Annie, I think you're assuming a level of maturity that I just don't have.
The other thing, just going back to training, I'm really interested that you trained with him, and we will come to golf. Don't worry, Nagger. Don't worry. We're going to go back golf. Because I train a lot on my own, and I find, because, you know, we have a strange job, don't we, Nagger? Mm-hmm. And our hours are all over the place, and there are not many people apart from you and I who understand the kind of the effects on your body and your psychology and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And also just can't be, you know, I just can't promise that I can turn up at a certain time. So I'm really interested that you chose to train with someone, because I think I benefit by actually training mostly on my own.
Well, that's interesting, because this was pre-breakfast.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, when I did the marathon. So, and now it's interesting. During lockdown, we've been running together, and James has started running again. And funnily enough, he's had a couple of calf injuries. And just this morning, we were sitting out in the garden, and he was just saying, I am desperate to get out running again. I never thought he'd say that, because I used to drag him out. Before lockdown, I used to drag him out, and he'd go, if we went to the gym and I'd run, he would do weights and refuse to run. And now he's out there. But when I run, I have my headphones in, brilliant music, and I don't run side by side. I run in front because I want to be on my own. So even though I'm with him and he's there, we run separately because it's my time and I escape. Yeah.
Do you know what? I never like running with anyone. It's my time running. Mm. And, you know, and occasionally I'll have a friend that says, oh, can I come for a run? And I just don't enjoy it. I want to go into my place, into my head. It's my thinking time. Just one thing there too. Has James got calf guards?
No, what are they?
Okay, so these calf guards, Google them or whatever, check them out. They're brilliant for supporting the calves. And my husband, he's played a lot of rugby and football. I don't know if James
is an ex-footballer. Yeah.
You always find those guys have like typical like calf issues and things. Calf guards, so they give the calves support. I mean, some guys think they look perhaps a little bit girly because it is like you've got socks on, but I think people are over that now because you see so many runners out there with them.
Yeah, they just like look like long socks, Nagger. They can look quite good. You get some nice ones.
I'll order some.
Thank
you.
Shall we talk about your what seems to be your true passion then, golf? Where on earth and when did that start?
James used to hack around once or twice a year when we met and had been for ages. I think his father-in-law got him into it, or one of the presenters at CNBC Europe, and he used to hack around. Hadn't had lessons. And I always said, this is an old man's white posh game, not
that
for me.
That is exactly what I wanted to ask you, because that is the perception, isn't it, from some people? And that was yours, was it?
Absolutely. And I'll be fair, Louise, there's still a big part of it that is that as well. Despite all the efforts, you know, to try to get younger people in, different people with different types of backgrounds in as well. But there's still, you know, it traditionally has that, even though golf clubs and the golf industry is desperately trying to change it, and it will change it, and it is changing. So I said, no way, not for me. And I'm a South London girl, immigrant parents, and you know, it's posh people. I'm not posh. So we were in South Africa, and we were on holiday, and we were staying with James's parents, who had a place out there. And James went out and played golf with his stepfather, and I was at home with his mother, who is lovely. But we, and Lou, you tell me how you think this day would have gone down when I'm sitting at home for 4 to 5 hours. And we're talking about interior decorating and what to make for dinner.
How did you make it to the 4 hours? Is that what I would say? How did you get past 45 minutes, Naga?
Let's just say, when James came in, I said, fine, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
He was delighted. And by the time we got home, there was a set of clubs, a cheap £100 set of clubs. And he booked me some lessons with a woman who'd been on tour, who I had lessons. So I did. And so this is the other thing. When I have lessons, I do them properly. So I had 10 lessons booked, and I would have one lesson a week for an hour. Then I would practice for an hour, and I would only do what she said. So James would be like, just try to hit the whole thing. And I'd be, no, I'm just swinging this much and then hitting the ball. That's it. And so I had tennis lessons. And if I couldn't practice for an hour a week, go up to the driving range, I wouldn't have my lesson. And I'd just make, so because I wanted to progress. I didn't, you know, there's no point going into a lesson. It's like piano lessons when you're a kid and you haven't practiced. What's the point? You're just going to do the same thing over and over again, yeah? So I did that. Had 10 lessons, had another 5, went out and played 9 holes. I shot 42, which is 6 over. It was this little par 3. It wasn't a proper course, par 3 and 4. And I was furious that I wasn't level par. And bear in mind, if I shot that now, I'd be over the moon. You know, I'm playing golf tomorrow for the first time in God knows how long. And I was furious. That's how competitive I am. So, Annie, do you see how immature I am when you say to me, just accept your body and all things like that?
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. I don't really practice what I preach.
I'm so pleased to hear it because I did think we could be friends.
Yeah, I'm so good at giving advice. But oh my God, I tell you. I mean, if I could tell you some of the stories of how I've tried to conquer injuries and some of the nonsense, but that definitely is another chat, another time. So no, I'm not in the least bit sensible. But what I want to understand now is how you went from, you know, having never played golf to having a handicap of 9, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, which
isn't it?
I'm really upset about because I've gone up because my lowest was 7 and I'm furious.
That's a really difficult thing with golf as well, Naga. I'm really annoying golfer because I don't care about it. So
yeah,
I can.
Good. You won Dan's golf day, didn't you?
Much to everybody's horror.
Brilliant. I was over the moon.
So Annie, so Dan Walker, our co-presenter on Breakfast, has this golf day every year, and he invites all these ridiculous people like Alan Shearer and Jim Mayne Janus and all these, you know, they're ex-footballers with a lot of time in their hands, and they're very, very good at golf. Anyway, so he's been asking us for years, hasn't he, Naga, to go? Mm. And eventually I was like, oh, I can't give another excuse for the third year in a row, so I'll go and play. Anyway, honestly, to everybody's shock, well, you're talking about your handicap there. So mine, obviously, because I don't play golf ever. I mean, I play once, but maybe every 5 years. So I got 36 handicap. And
perfect.
Then, I mean, yeah, exactly, Naga.
2 shots a hole.
Exactly. And it just happened, Annie, I won't bore people with the story too much, but I was playing with some guys. They played a couple of bad holes. On bad holes, I played good holes. So they got my points and we won. I've got this enormous cup in my house. And everybody's like, I went up to Dan. I was like, I think I've won. He's like, you what? And they were all laughing. So I waltzed up with the cup.
I loved
it. Which, Naga, you loved, didn't you?
I loved it. I loved it so much.
It's sort of interesting listening to you two, because I can tell you right now, I am bloody hopeless at golf. And you were talking there, Naga, about really taking on board what your coach said. And James is going, no, just hit it and stuff. That would be me. So the girl thing is we're much more precise. You know, we take information on board, whereas blokes go in a bit at the deep end. So really, I'm a bit of a bloke.
Well, no, Annie, to be fair, so am I. I think I can do anything. I will have lessons eventually, but I do think I can do anything. I am, you know, I've flown a plane. I've gone into a plane, I've got given flying lessons, and James went with my lessons, and I took it off and I landed it. And James was in the back, and it was this little Cessna, and he's saying to the pilot, you know, you do know she's never flown before. I have no fear about things like that. I just have no sense. But I think, what's the point in having the fear? Just go for it. James, you say he's blokey. He said, oh, I remember when I was having lessons with Anna, his ex-pro, and he was like, no, I think I need a man to teach me. This is before he started, he's a brilliant golfer. His handicap 6. And he should be much lower. He has mental issues with competitions. But he had lessons with a guy, then started having lessons with Anna, and completely realized that women are better teachers because of the tempo for amateur golfers. And he has lessons all the time. And in fact, I'm a bit rubbish. I don't have lessons as often as I should.
Can we talk about the sort of mental game of golf? Because that's what I was sort of alluding to, is that I don't, in some ways, a bit like you, with golf, I don't care about it that much. So I can just whack the ball in a different way where I'm not stressed about it. But you can it's a really mental game, isn't it? You've got to really kind of control lots of things going on in your head.
I'm disappointed at you not caring,
Louis. You see, I knew you would be. It's to my advantage in this. Don't make me care, Naga. Don't make me care about golf.
You will care. No, you can't. You have to be very relaxed. You have to accept. I mean, I have this phrase, it will come. And I've had to adopt this phrase because sometimes you go out and you're having a nightmare. It just doesn't work. It's like with running for me. Sometimes I go out running and I'll do a 5K and it'll feel so hard. And then the next day it can feel so easy. And you just kind of have to accept the body's doing whatever the body's doing. That's my very simplistic way of looking at it. I know you two know loads more than me about that. But with golf, you have to adopt the phrase, it will come, because I used to karate kick my bag. The air would be more than blue around me when I played. I've thrown clubs. I learned to throw my clubs forward so that I didn't have to do the walk of shame and pick them up and walk back. I have kicked over my golf bag numerous times, sworn. I've been told off for my behaviour on the course. I had a reputation that people would be scared of playing with me, although my temper was never directed at anyone else. It was only at myself. Unless someone spoke when I was taking my shot. And I do have a phrase, I'm sorry, is my golf interrupting your conversation?
Imagine that.
I'm sensing I wouldn't really want to get on the wrong side of Naga.
I didn't realise you kicked golf clubs all through them.
But so where does this come from? You know, obviously you've talked about your childhood and, you know, Asian parents who we know, you know, want the best for their children.
They're
quite pushy, you know, which, you know, is great. We all want the best for, you know, our kids and stuff. But do you think that was something? Do you think it's something that's, you know, nurture, nature? What is it? Is it just, you know, inbuilt in you to be massively sort of driven and competitive? Or do you think it was something, a bit of both, like the pushy parents, and that's just a bit of who you are?
I think it's who I am. I really do think it's who I am, because I know James's parents, although they were very supportive, were nowhere near as pushy as me, and he's just as competitive. So I think it's got to be partly nature, hasn't it? I think I have everything I do, bake a cake, play a piece on the piano, I just want to be my best. I don't know how long it's been, anything I do, I just try to be the best at and do my best. There's no point. I would never compete against either of you two if I was in a triathlon or something or a race, but I would definitely try to be the best I could. Everything I do, I try to be the best. Otherwise, I won't bother. I will not bother if I'm not interested.
Do you know, it's really interesting to hear that, because that's a very powerful force. And I have this thing, Naga, when people say, oh, you're so competitive, and it makes it that sound like a bad thing. I don't think, you know, what is bad about trying to be the best that you can be? I don't think there is something bad in that.
Exactly. When I play golf, I'm so competitive, and I play match play. I've won competitions, county competitions. I'm known for being, at my golf club, a very good match player. Not because I ever try to psych my opponents out, but I just never give up. And I don't mind losing. I genuinely don't mind losing a golf game if I've played well and if my opponent has played well. I genuinely don't mind. I mind losing if I haven't played well. I'm angry with myself. I'm not angry with the opposition. I'm furious with the result, obviously. But I never want to see anyone do badly. I want everyone to be brilliant, but I want to be brilliant for my standards. You know, for my personal and mental well-being, just knowing I've done something good. That's all that counts. If that's competitive, fine. I'm uber competitive and proud of it.
So moving a little bit away from sport and what you both do as a job, and, you know, obviously I've done commentary work and presenting work, but it's nothing like on the level that you guys are on. I think probably one of the biggest jobs I have is when I was doing the Olympic Games in 2016 with Jonathan Edwards. And I was on camera for a good hour or so before the race. And, you know, there's about 6 million people watching you, which I remember thinking about it on the way down to the race and then just thinking, I think I'm going to throw up. I don't think I can cope with this. And another story, but I saw something that made me change the way I was thinking. But you girls do this every day of the week. Well, you do three, don't you, Lou? You're on three mornings and you're on the sofa the other three mornings. And I just think, how do you deal with that? You know, it's a bloody tough world because you're constantly up against, you know, all sorts of criticism, you know, and social media has given people such a huge platform to, you know, at times voice brilliant stuff, but a lot of the time, you know, voice some pretty rubbish stuff too.
Shall I go first, Naga? Because I think I think we have different answers to this.
We do. We do, don't we? Different approaches.
Exactly. Yeah. So my answer to that is literally shut my ears, close my eyes and let the storm pass, Annie, because, and I've written about it a bit as well, you know, it can be hurtful, etc. And I just think, just let it go. Naga, you're really different to me and you engage in it. And I totally admire the way you do that, but that's not what I choose to do.
So what I'd say is, it's interesting you were talking about your experience, Annie, because I've never been nervous going on air, doing any interview. And I'm sure Lou will agree with me in this. It's not because it's, and it's, it partly is your comfort zone, but also if you're prepared, the only reason to be nervous is if you don't know your stuff, if you haven't prepared, if you haven't done everything you can to make sure you have the answers and you've done your side of the, you've upheld your side of the bargain, so to speak, you've done your work. So that takes nervousness out of it. When you talk about the storm, I hate injustice. I get so angry if people aren't fair. I have no issue with being criticised. I will be told off by my boss for doing something doing something wrong. Absolutely not a problem. I don't mind if on social media there's constructive criticism. I feel you didn't ask this question. I feel you didn't push that hard enough. And I'll look at it. That's fine. When someone abuses me, I'm going to come back at them with two barrels. I'm just not having it. That is not, I am not there to be abused while I'm doing my job. Funnily enough, Lou, Bill Turnbull said this to me. You know, what we do on air and what footballers do, they're the two jobs where people think they can abuse us while we're doing our jobs. Not after we've done our jobs, while we are doing our jobs. And we're exposed to that. And I'm not having it. That's my attitude.
It's funny because you talk about football. It was a long time ago. But the French guy, what was his name?
Cantona.
I had support with him with his outburst because I felt that no one in their job should ever have to say that it's acceptable, however much you're paid, to tolerate any sort of abuse. So from you two, it's really interesting because you have such different approaches, but they're both very successful. And I think that this is something to our listeners out there, you know, it's worth taking on board. And Lou, you're not saying, I don't care.
But I'm not saying I don't care at all. Yeah. I do care. There's something definitely about watching it. I mean, I don't watch it come in on air anymore. And I have changed my attitude to it, Naga, haven't I? I used to kind of watch it, but you came off, didn't you, for a while? Yeah, I came off for, gosh, I mean, really a long time. And actually, I've done something quite brilliantly, but quite by mistake, to my Twitter, where I really just can't see most of it. So, and I just, you know, I just find that's an easier place to be. And people are perfectly welcome to make comments, etc. But I don't... You know, it is definitely hurtful, and I don't want to engage with it.
I find it very interesting at the moment, actually, during lockdown. People are so polarized. I mean, they're frustrated. Life is hard for a lot of people for many, many reasons, and people are scared. People are fearful about what's going to happen and don't know what's happening. But I do find that people are. Sometimes just become a little bit more angry during lockdown, particularly about, you know, which way it goes. Are you in support of it? Are you not in support of it? And every political interview I do now for the last 5 weeks, I've trended on Twitter. And I was like, what's that? And I'd be told, oh, Nagi, you're trending. And you see, and there's more reason. It's not just because I'm a news presenter or a news journalist. There are other reasons. I'm female. I'm not white. You know, I voice an opinion.
Wearing particular shoes.
Oh, for crying out loud, yes. You know, and I don't apologise for challenging or, you know, and I'm not as likeable. I'm not as likeable. So there are many, many reasons. But I do find, yeah, that people
I think what's interesting there is, you know, something that will relate to women is if you try too hard to be liked or keep everyone happy, it's not going to work in whichever industry you're working on. I think I've always had this thing, I don't want to upset someone, you know. I mean, so on one hand, I'm a bit of a contradiction because I'm quite hard on one side, but on another side, I just think, oh, I just want people to like me. And I think certainly, you know, I think you manage it really well, Lou, and your approach, Naga, is really different, but both work really well. So
and the one
we
thing
can learn from that.
That I've learned from my husband is he said to me, look, if you walked into a room and there are 100 people, there is no way 100 people are going to like you. Yes. So there's a sort of a sense of acceptance, isn't there? You know, that's the reality. I mean, you know, let's not put numbers on it, but you wouldn't be, you know, you'd be very strange if you'd be an amazing person or something. There'd be something very special about it. But it goes, yeah, totally love that person. So that's just reality, isn't it?
I have a slightly different attitude because I've never expected people to like me. I do think I am I'm a grower. Like most of my friends would probably say, yeah, I wasn't sure about you at first, you know, and then intensely loyal and brilliant friends now. And I accept that, but I don't expect people to like me. I genuinely don't care if people don't like me.
I like that attitude. I really do. I think I should like brace it a little bit more. And I think ultimately you would prefer someone to not like you to begin with. And then when they get to know you, like you rather than the other way around. You said you've never been nervous. Let me ask a question. Back in 2016, come on. When you walked out on that dance floor live for the very first time, please tell me you weren't a tiny bit nervous. She's going to say no, isn't she?
I'm trying not to use bad language. I was absolutely bricking it. Absolutely bricking it. And you do. I just mentioned being in your comfort zone. Way out of my comfort zone. You never have enough time to rehearse and learn. You're learning in a completely different way. And one thing I learned from Strictly is the way my mind works. So Lou knows this. We've often spoken about how we read our briefs. I speed read because I did English at university, so I can read really quickly and absorb really quickly. But Lou, I'm sure you're the same. Come what now? I bet you've probably forgotten the words for our top headline and all the stuff in the briefs mostly, or have you retained it?
95% gone probably.
Gone. Yeah. Yeah. So I absorb stuff really quickly and it's there and I can throw all the numbers. I see all the numbers. My brain works in a very weird way or brilliant way in some senses. I have all these facts. Come 10 o'clock, honestly, I would struggle to tell you what our top headline was unless it was, you know, amazingly big news. And I would have forgotten all the stuff. So, but when you're learning to dance, or you're not even learning to dance, you're learning routine. When you're learning that routine, I would come in the next day and poor Pasha, he'd be like, he'd look at me, he'd go, someone's so smart. How have you? And we'd spend the first hour just going over what we'd learned. So my brain doesn't work like that. That's why this job suits me.
Naga, do you know what you say? You've absolutely hit the nail on the head because I have once, and I'm not going to go on Strictly. We all know that.
Why not?
Because I'm on a lifetime ban from my family.
Okay. But that's a different story altogether.
Be grateful, Lou.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly, because I've once had to learn a dance, and exactly like you, Naga, I can learn foreign languages, but it was like trying to learn backwards Russian upside down. Mm-hmm. I could mm-hmm. not retain it for mm-hmm. less. I just couldn't retain the moves at all.
Mm. And but I maybe dance. That's, maybe I'm, that's, I'm the person who in a club. Or at a wedding, I will be up dancing all night. And I'm a good dancer. But on that show, I'm useless.
But you did look really beautiful. didn't she? I mean, they do a brilliant job with the costumes and everything. But I was looking back over some stuff yesterday and you just look absolutely gorgeous. So you must have been a bit proud of yourself in the end.
What, for looking pretty?
I thought that was...
Oh my God, I've got two left feet. So listen, anything you did was brilliant in my eyes.
Naga, I want to take you back to something we talked, you mentioned briefly a little bit earlier about golf being good for your mental health. Does that go for running and how does it help?
So when you're playing golf, you're outside for 4 hours if you're playing 18 holes, 4 to 5 hours. You are just doing it for yourself. You know, like Annie, you said running is for you. It's not for anyone else. When I'm playing golf, I can be in a four ball or I can be just me. And it's me hitting that ball. It's me hitting the sweet spot. It's me sinking the putts. It's me concentrating on being the best I can be and having the best round I can have that day. It will not be the best round of my life every time, but it will be the best round I can have that day. And it's all about you. And I think when you have lifestyles that are busy or you're concerned about other things, the joy of it as you get away and you're outside. Where do you get to? And also with friends, be honest, right? With your partners or with your family, where do you get to spend 4 hours where no phones, no radios, no TV, you know, no technological distractions other than a GPS, perhaps it's telling you how far you have to the flag. You have to have conversations, all ages as well, all walks of life. You are having conversations.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there with the time as well, because you could go for a run with someone or you could go for a walk with someone, but to spend that amount of time with somebody or even on your own, as you say, concentrating is a really rare gift, isn't it?
It's a gift. It's absolutely a gift. And I, you know, I've been playing for 11, 12 years now and I haven't played now since... Well, for 6 weeks, I played a couple of times the week I got back from holiday. I was very lucky to have a holiday before lockdown. And I played a couple of times and then the ban came in. And I have a tea time booked for tomorrow morning.
I know. I texted her this morning, because literally tomorrow is the first day you can play golf, isn't it?
9:36 I'm playing. Yeah, James and I are playing nine holes. And the weather's going to be good. And I haven't played. And I honestly was interviewed and I said, I'm bereft. And it sounded like such first world problems, you know, oh, I'm bereft without golf. You know, there are people who are struggling to get food on the table. Completely understand that. But for me, it's my mental health. It's being out. And, you know, it's not enough sitting down in the garden in the sunshine. I need to be out. Even if the weather was rotten, windy, raining, whatever, I would be out there tomorrow playing. I can't wait.
How have you practiced? Have you practiced while you've been on lockdown?
We've got a golf net. I've got a putting mat. I'm supposed to be doing this putting challenge. I have to do it today and put it on Instagram. I haven't practiced much, no. I kind of think, if I can't do it, I don't want to play it. I don't want to practice.
I think a lot of people feel like that in lockdown, don't they? You just get to a point, if I can't do it properly, I don't want to do it at all. But, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, people can start getting back to doing a little bit more of what they love and what's important to them.
So what is the next thing you're going to learn, Naga? Because I know it's been swimming, I know it's been golf, I know the piano, etc. Absolutely brilliant. What's next?
Well, you know, I did the cycling, Lou.
I know. I was going to say, Annie, she did Ride London with me, what, a couple of years ago,
you
wasn't
and Nadia.
It?
Yeah, it wasn't last year, it was a year before. Did Ride London. I did London to Paris, didn't I? And then I did Ride London, and then I did Bedford to Amsterdam.
I mean, and you weren't even a cyclist before then, were you?
No, she's incredible.
Annie.
That is absolutely amazing, particularly Naga, because I live in the Surrey Hills, so I know where
they're hard, aren't they?
I know where Box Hill. I mean, that's probably one of the easier one, isn't it? I think it's smaller, sharper, shorter ones. So, what kind of preparation did you have to, you know,
did
not
loads.
Ever really ride?
I did loads. I got a watt bike. I borrowed a watt bike because I don't like cycling on the roads. You know, my husband got hit by a car last week while cycling.
Is he all right?
So scary.
Yeah, he's battered and bruised, but yeah, he's okay. I'll tell you about that in a sec. So I'm petrified of cycling on the roads. Absolutely petrified. I'm scared of traffic. I think everyone's an idiot in either who's on a bike or in a car because they don't have road sense. And I think that's probably a safe way of kind of being out on the roads. So I never cycled on my own. I never would. So I just did. So it was one of those things. I set myself a challenge. I said, I'm going to do London to Paris. And I'd met a couple of people. I said, do you want to do London to Paris with me? And they were like, yeah. And then I was a patron for this charity. So I am a patron. So I said, I'll do it for them. Anyway. But unfortunately, Lou knows all about this. I got sacroiliitis.
Oh,
so I had
yeah.
really bad back pain, and it was exacerbated by the cycling. So I couldn't cycle for a year after doing it. But when I did London to Paris, I turned up in this group and I booked it myself with this group and joined this group. And I turned up and they're all on their road bikes, clips, you know, cleats and thingy. I've got my hybrid trainers, no clips, no straps. No, you know, nothing. And I did it on a hybrid while they're all on their road bikes. I kept up. I kept up because I'm sheer bloody mindedness and I was strong. And then I used a road bike for Ride London and Bedford to Amsterdam. And then I had to stop. My physio actually said you can't cycle it because it's that position, that racing position. I can pootle. I can go back on my hybrid and pootle, but I can't get into that racing position anymore. But yeah, I did that. And the velodrome, Lou.
Oh, hey. Gosh, yeah, we did the velodrome.
Within two circles, I was up on the top, wasn't I?
She's absolutely brilliant. But that's what I've loved about, you know, the last few years now, going, getting to know you as much as I can on the other side of the week, is that, you know, you just got sort of get up and go that is just brilliant and admirable. And I just think inspiring for other people to see that you just do stuff that, you know, people might think is impossible, to take up cycling, Ride London, blah, blah, amazing things.
So could we get you to do a triathlon?
No.
She can't go on a bike, Annie.
Yeah, but you could, you know, it's not like you need, like, if you just wanted to tick the box and go and do a fun triathlon, I mean, you can do it on a hybrid.
What makes you think triathlons are fun to people who don't want to do triathlons, Annie? Seriously.
I mean, I can honestly say to you, I don't think there was once that I started a triathlon race without thinking, this is the last one I'm going to do. I hate it.
There you go. I'll tell you what, Annie, I will do a mini triathlon, which would involve like four lengths of swimming. Right? Mm-hmm. I'll do a mini yeah. triathlon if you come and play 18 holes of golf with me properly.
There we go.
But the thing is, I'd let you down because I've never played golf. So I think I'd just be...
Well,
I mean,
you'd
we'd
have
be
a couple
there.
Of lessons, wouldn't you? You'd have a couple of lessons so you could at least hit a 7-iron and you could putt.
We have got a nice little golf club down the road, which is really low-key, where I could go and get my husband to take me on the driving range. I have to say, Tim giving me golf lessons, though, might be more testing than being locked down in a house with him for the last 7 weeks.
I'll give you a little bit of advice. Don't have lessons with your husband.
Yeah, I think that's...
Just get a couple of lessons with the pro.
I love what we've been through this chat. There's been a lot of husband talk, which has been actually rather nice and refreshing, well, because they are an important part of our lives, aren't they?
Oh, they
completely.
Are.
Oh, yeah. Completely. And we're lucky, I think, if we're all still with them after 7 weeks in lockdown.
Can you imagine? If you can survive this, you can survive anything, can't you?
Listen, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you, Naga. I've been wanting to have this conversation for ages. And I just get the feeling with Annie, Naga, she just might be really annoyingly brilliant at golf.
I think you would. Annie, I say think you would. There is no way a brilliant sportswoman like yourself would not be good at golf. You would, because I doubt you would put your mind to anything and be good at it. You wouldn't be necessarily be the best, but you would be good.
I'm good at darts. I'm good at pool.
I'm good
at
pool.
Does that help? Do you think that, like, you know, there's any correlation there with that kind of, you know,
hand-eye coordination?
Yeah. Okay. Right. We're going to chat
hand-eye
about this
coordination.
One. Okay.
And listen, in your body.
Listen, if I give you a call in a few weeks and go, you know those 18 holes, right, we're up for it, right, what's the triathlon challenge, then, you know, you won't have an answer.
Yeah, but it's a mini.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind that. We can do super sprint. There is super sprint, which will be absolutely perfect for you.
And the real question here, Naga, I think it's probably best we don't play golf together. What do you think?
Oh, no, we should. Do you know what, Lou? You and I should play golf against Dan. You and I should team up and be on the same team in Dan's competition when I can finally do it and win it again.
We could just win it on our own, couldn't we? Because you're really good and I've got, you know, my extra
and
points,
you've got the shots and you're good. It's all about coming in when you need to come in.
Okay, excellent. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me on, both of you.
Take care. Enjoy your first game of golf.
Can't wait.
I know you will. Lots of love.
Bye-bye, Mel. Annie, lovely chatting to you. Take care.
Well, what a great interviewee there with Naga. Absolutely loved her. Can't stop her talking. No surprise there. She does such a brilliant job on the red sofa. But what an interesting woman. And I think, you know, what I got from her is Very driven, very self-assured, but, you know, also a great fun person too.
I love the way that you turn the microphone on me and start asking me questions, Ali. I'm not sure that's allowed in this podcast. It was like, oh no, it's coming my way.
I mean, what a brilliant, you know, thing for me to have these two, yeah, you know, great people that I've watched over the years on the red sofa there. One of them is my good friend, a Naga who works with you. So I thought it was a good opportunity to throw a few questions at
quite
you.
Right, right. And I like the fact, I mean, obviously we're very different. We have very different, we do the same job, but we have very different attitudes to various different things. I mentioned earlier, didn't I, about every minute counts on the Her Spirit app. If you've got time, do go and add your minutes there, everybody, because what we're trying to do is get to 1 million minutes donated. I think it's by the end of July. Was it the beginning of July?
I think it's the beginning of July.
What we're trying to do is get 1 million minutes donated by the beginning of July. And that will mean that 2,000 women who can't afford to have Her Spirit can get access to the app. And then hopefully, Annie, they get help, they get encouragement, all the stuff that we've been talking about over the last few months.
Yeah, and absolutely go on and log the minutes, because I am guilty of not having logged my minutes. And I've got quite a few hundred that I've banked up. So I will get on the app and download those minutes as well, because as you said, what a brilliant opportunity to be able to say to a lot of women out there, hey, you know, you've got this app for free, and everything that it can bring to you, from the advice, the, you know, the brilliant exercise classes, the bike classes, everything that's on the Her Spirit app. So yeah, log those minutes.
I haven't been adding my dog walk, so I will go for a dog walk this morning, and I'll make sure I add all of those as well. Annie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy your run. Is it going to be a long run today?
I might do a little hour or so, I think. Yeah, just sort of, I do need to sweat out a bit of the champagne.
Okay, so how far do you go in an hour?
Probably, it's not going to be super speedy today. 7, 8 miles, something like that.
That's lucky. I only deal in kilometres. I've no idea what that means. Oh, it's been a pleasure as always. Take care.
Yeah,
see you soon.
That's a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name's Mel Burry and I'm the co-founder of Her Spirit. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, and we hope you found it useful. I'd just like to say thanks to our sponsors, Medichex, who, without their support, this wouldn't have been possible. Medichex offers simple-to-use blood tests. Wanting to strengthen your immunity or check for underlying conditions, they offer a home test with doctors-reviewed results. Just go to medichex.com to find out more. And remember, together we've got this. Have a great day.